I think a distraction-free screen is far more important than people realise. It can be incredibly confusing if you've got too much stuff going on your screen. So when I'm reading Harry Potter, we have it up on screen in a bigger text. We use a buff coloured background, so it's slightly off colour, and I put it into reader view. So it's a distraction-free screen. So if they want to follow the text on screen with me, then it's a nice, clear, easy way of reading for them.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Welcome to the Digital to Learn podcast. I'm Tiffany Snyder, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Gardner. Hi, Brad.
Greetings.
And today we are joined with the Jules Dolby. Welcome, Jules.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
If you didn't have a chance to make it for part one, you can go back and listen in. Otherwise, we're going to continue the conversation with part two.
How has the pandemic affected inclusive opportunities?
Well, it's been very interesting. So I now work in a specialist school. So it has children that don't go to mainstream schools. They come here. So it's smaller classes, more resources, a higher teacher and teaching assistant ratio to the pupils. And it's been very interesting because in England, through lockdown, schools stayed open for vulnerable pupils and key worker children. So we've pretty much been open the whole time. Wow. And we've had about 50% of our children in most of the time. But even here, some of our children have really thrived in even smaller classes than having 12. And the fact it's much calmer and that we stay in bubbles. So, you know, there's fewer transitions that would often upset them. So for some of our pupils, they've really thrived. Others that have done remote learning, some have really enjoyed that. So they love coming on to the camera, but they like being in control of their learning environment. Mm-hmm. So they've really enjoyed remote learning. And then we have other pupils that would like to just have it back to normal and they hate it. So there's different differences. So inclusion here, I think for the majority, we've managed okay, but there's certain pupils I think we're worried that we've lost a little bit and we're worried about getting them back. But we feel we've done a good job. Mm-hmm. Like most schools, I think, in mainstream schools. So my children go to mainstream schools. And I think with regards to inclusion there, again, the vulnerable children have been invited into school still. So they are still getting some form of education within the school system. So that has helped. Technology wise, I think I'm really hoping we've turned a corner because in England particularly, our current government has not been particularly proactive with technology. You know, it feels that they've stayed quite old-fashioned and they want the power of the pen. And so when we've been encouraging technology, like all the exams are still paper-based, and I'm really hoping we may have turned a corner there, that we can use more technology in schools and right up to exams where you know, it seems crazy we're still doing stuff in the pen and paper when none of us use pen and paper anymore. So I'm hoping that side of inclusion may have made a difference.
Mm-hmm. We work at a university with primarily online learners, so we may not have control over the home environment and the technology that they've worked with to date, but what kind of advice do you have for our faculty who, again, mostly teach online for creating an inclusive environment where all students are welcome and on a path to thriving?
Yeah, and I think on a practical level, I think even online, or in fact, even more so online, being able to present information in a way that is accessible to all is really important. So visuals that Brad was saying, why clicker's so lovely. Mm-hmm. So ensuring visuals, I think a distraction-free screen is far more important than people realise. It can be incredibly confusing if you've got too much stuff going on your screen. And so sort of going into things like reader view sometimes. So when I'm reading Harry Potter, we have it up on screen in a bigger text. We use a buff colored background, so it's slightly off color, and I put it into reader view, so it's a distraction free screen. So if they want to follow the text on screen with me, then it's a nice, clear, easy way of reading for them. So I think some of those sort of just really quite practical levels, a slightly bigger text, you can even change the gap between letters, which is proven to help some readers. So nice, clear, and the font is quite important. So Arial is very good. So using a nice, easily to read font, it's very easy to change the background colour. So those sorts of things can make a big difference. Also thinking about how giving them opportunities. So, you know, it's funny, I think I'm quite a good inclusive teacher, but I talk very quickly, but I do repeat myself and I leave gaps. So it's not so much just talking very slowly that will help, but allowing some thinking time for information to be processed is important. Maybe particularly in online learning, sort of saying, okay, I'm going to give you 5 minutes to read this, and then not talking over them while they're trying to read it, which is what I do all the time. I have to remind myself not to do that. So just sort of presenting the information and then allowing thinking time is very good. Also, I think on an inclusive level, you know, like representation is having varied images of different people. I mean, Women Ed is like this too, you know, making sure that if you're talking about a leader, they're not always like a white male, you know, but also having people who use wheelchairs and having, you know, characters in books or whatever learning you're doing, like with autism or with dyslexia, you know, so everybody feels included as well. So so you've got these sort of practical levels of learning strategies and pedagogy, is what I call it. But then also how you present your materials as well to be very inclusive makes a big difference. If you're talking about an inventor or a scientist and making sure you've got women and people of colour and people with dyslexia or autism, you know, that really helps to become an inclusive forum for everybody.
Thank you.
So what's next in the Jules Dalby story?
Well, quite interestingly, I've been at this school now for 2 years and I'm really enjoying it here. It's the first time I've worked in a solely special needs school rather than having an inclusive mixture, really, of children. There's still a wide range of people and children here. I'm learning an awful lot and I think I'm bringing quite a lot of my experiences from mainstream schools for inclusive teaching, but I'm also learning so much here. So, for instance, I've had a meeting with our occupational therapist today, talking about trauma and movement and how the body can be affected, which was fascinating. And then I've been with the speech and language therapist and she's been telling me about some new work on vocabulary learning. So, you know, I'm learning an awful lot here, and so I think I'm going to be staying here for a little bit and really enjoying my work. I am a blogger and I've sort of stopped blogging for a while, so I'll probably start blogging a bit again, sort of quite interested in starting that. And to continue with Women Ed Tech, we are hoping to do, maybe you can join us, we are hoping to do a virtual event this year, we've said, where we invite all sorts of people in to talk about tech and Women Ed Tech, you know, so it'd be lovely if you could join us for that.
That sounds awesome.
I'm not sure when it's going to be yet, but I shall let you know. So we're hoping to plan a virtual event as well for Women Ed Tech.
My background is in special education for my entire career virtually. And we always were working to get students to move from special schools into, I think, what you would call mainstream schools. Does technology facilitate that process in some ways?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to think that if technology is embedded within a school and so children are enabled and can use it, then a lot of our children here would be able to be in mainstream schools. It's usually because of a lack of resources and, you know, ability and knowledge within the mainstream school that they can't thrive. And technology is often part of that that parcel. Mm-hmm. So we have a mixture of children here from complex needs where they use eye gaze. Yeah. So they communicate with their eyes, and to Prolo Quota Go, where they would communicate with an iPad using images, up to children that you would really be surprised to be in this school, that you would think that they should be in a mainstream school. And they're here for various social and emotional reasons. So yes, I think tech on the whole for a lot of our pupils would be great if mainstream schools were using it more. And that's through the pandemic. I think we've seen that mm-hmm. children are using technology an awful lot more than we imagined they could. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds to me like your advocacy is by example mm-hmm. in the ways that you engage with your work and the children with whom you're working and mm-hmm. the teachers and so on. It has to be a great motivation for them to do greater things. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Thank you. Well, thank you. It's lovely to hear another colleague that is special needs and assistive technology. So, and in the world of inclusion, it's a great place to be, I think. And I always say I learn far more from the children than they learn from me, usually.
Amen. Well, it's been so much fun having you with us today. We'll have to have you back to hear what you're reading, mm-hmm. to hear about your new adventures, mm-hmm. and to hear about the great things that you're doing in terms of advocacy for women.
Yep. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we do. And you're always welcome. We have a he for she. So, you know, men are always welcome to join because we say men are often recruiting. So we need to encourage them to, you know, make sure it's a friendly environment for both genders to apply for jobs. So yes, but WomenEd is a grassroots and it's on social media and Twitter. So please, you know, everyone is welcome to join and come and chat to us online. There's lots of exciting things happening all the time. We've got International Women's Day.
Oh yes.
And we've got lots of events happening for International Women's Day. I keep talking about Sue Cowley. It seems a bit of a coincidence, but I'm interviewing her on Monday for our Women interview. Yeah, so for Choose to Challenge. So that will be live streamed, I think, on Twitter and Facebook on Monday on International Women's Day. So
it's amazing how social media has provided a platform for grassroots movements.
Yeah,
through a hashtag or other mm-hmm. memes. Getting the word out and mm-hmm. finding there are other people around the world who share your passions mm-hmm. and interests. It's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great place to connect. And for someone like me in Dorset, you know, where you're not sort of centrally, because often being in London is where people used to connect in the influencing mm-hmm. level of education. And I think for mm-hmm. me, I've been able to live in Dorset and still have quite a voice mm-hmm. that I'd never be able to have had before. So that's been really exciting.
I told you we found your name on that top females in ed tech. So that influences.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic.
Beyond what you could have imagined. Yeah, London or not.
Yeah.
There have been so many resources that you provided and names and hashtags. And so it is going to be our commitment to gather all those resources and make them live links and provide those hashtags to our listeners. So we'll get all of that accessed and summarized on Digital to Learn too for others to take advantage
of. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's fantastic. And please, anybody's welcome to get hold of me on Twitter or LinkedIn or email or wherever. So, you know, I'm always happy to help anybody if they have any questions or want any resources.
Thanks for being with us, Jules.
Yes, thank you, Jules.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are three things we ask you to do. One, come back and join us again. Two, tell your friends about us. And three, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
It's a digital world.
Always keep learning.